The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. I hope you're doing well today. You know, it's Tuesday, this is Speak Up, my name is Barbara, and I am so glad that you are joining us today. We are getting familiar with candidates coming onto the political landscape as we move toward the primary season, and today we're looking at the Boundary County primary ballot, and specifically a candidate for sheriff in Boundary County is with us today, Travis Stoley. We have a lot to talk about. And unfortunately, another candidate for Boundary County Sheriff, Dave Schumann, was scheduled, but unfortunately, Dave is not well today. He's sick and he can't be here. So we're sorry for that, but we are going to have it going on with Travis Stoley also. He is a candidate for Boundary County Sheriff. All right, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to get to that first break right now.
Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
What a wacky winter we've experienced thus far here in North Idaho. It's with this in mind that we at the Pondere Winery have decided it's time to spread some love. That's right, we will release our highly anticipated 2021 Love as February's Wine of the Month. Bruce Dykart's artwork will be on display, and a full lineup of music will warm our tasting room every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. We're located at 301 Cedar in beautiful downtown Sandpoint and open noon till 8, Tuesday through Saturday. It's February, we've got the love, so come join us at the Pondere Winery.
Attorney Joe Cordell.
Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
For matters in Idaho, visit CordellCordell.com. 999 West Main Street, Suite 100, Boise, Idaho, 83702.
Paid for by Cordell. Ellen Cordell.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on Carol. She's more focused on hitting a high note than the car in front of her. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California, subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving, generally, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Listen live anytime, anywhere with our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in again. I'm glad you're listening. This is going to be a good show for you, especially our Boundary County listeners. You're going to be listening to one of the candidates for sheriff in Boundary County that you will get to vote on the primary. Travis Stoley, he's with us today. Travis, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. let's begin with a little bit about your background. Probably a lot of people in Boundary County do know you, but I think there are some, you know, a little more detail on your background, please.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Bonners Ferry, graduated high school there. And right after high school, I joined the Marine Corps. And so spent from 2005 until 2014, about 8 years and 9 months total, active duty in the Marine Corps. And, you know, during that time, you know, started a family. I've got a 15-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter. So a freshman in high school and a seventh grader. So that's keeping us busy. And, you know, I married my wife right after she graduated high school. So we've been married 17 years. It'll be 18 this spring. So
you're a good man for remembering those numbers. Yeah. I know your wife, who's, I'm sure, listening, is pleased.
Yeah. I'll take credit for that today, but not sometimes. How that goes. But, yeah, so, you know, the biggest thing that I want people to understand is the reason why I'm here running for sheriff is that I am from that community, and, you know, I care about what happens. And, you know, there's a reason why after the 8 years and 9 months that we spent in the Marine Corps, we decided to move back home, because there really is no place like Boundary County. And, you know, for the good things and the bad things, like there's always pluses, minus, pros and cons wherever you go. We just didn't think there's any better place to raise our children. So we moved back here in 2014. And I started working, wasn't sure what I was going to do. I've got a background in aviation. That's what I did, in the Marine Corps. I worked on Hueys and Cobras as a flight line mechanic and a crew chief. So, you know, I deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, Iraq twice, and then Afghanistan. And then also on the USS Iwo Jima, with a Marine Expeditionary Unit. So they kept me very busy while I was in, and just got to that point where kids were, you know, missing dad when I was gone and missing big chunks of time, and, you know, just needed to kind of reprioritize life and focus on family. And we decided that was the best thing to do, was to get out and move back home.
You know, your military career in the Marines is really impressive for, let me see, 9 years or a little bit over that, and
just
a mechanic.
Under, yeah.
But you served in Iraq, you served in Afghanistan. I just have to stop you right now and say thank you for your service. We appreciate veterans so much.
Yeah, and that's just North Idaho.
We appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, indeed. So you came home for family and community, and it was time to come home, is what I'm understanding.
Yeah.
What did you do then?
So when I first got back, like I said, it I always say this, like, the easiest and the hardest thing that I've ever done, because I didn't know exactly what I was going to do for a career. I didn't have an idea. I was never the guy that liked school, so I just wasn't quite sure. But when I moved back, I just knew we were going to figure something out. And I could get into a bunch of stories as to why it worked out, but I'll just say that we were really blessed and had some really good help from some friends and family that just made it happen. And things that wouldn't have happened if we didn't have that help.
Well, praise God for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I worked for Tom Mackey, who's Northwest Tree and Reclamation, just a tree farm guy. He's actually my neighbor now. And I worked for Tim Dillon a little bit, driving some grain trucks. And like I said, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew we were going to try to figure it out. And so the city of Bonners Ferry Police Department was actually hiring. And so I had applied actually in Kootenai County as well to be a sheriff's deputy when I was moving up and trying to figure out where I wanted to go. And decided didn't work out. And then, like I said, we wanted to live in Boundary County. So, moved back home. And so the city of Bonners Ferry Police Department had some openings, and I applied and went through the interview process and testing process and all that, and was able to be hired. Chief Bob Boone was the chief at the city police department at the time, and he hired me, and there, started my law enforcement career.
You know, I probably should know of all the different police officers and state troopers and sheriff's department people for a variety, like the Marine Division that I've talked to over the years. But when you apply to be a police officer, I mean, is there some guy, they say they look at everything. I'm sure they do background checks, even though you're in the military, et cetera, et cetera. But is there some kind of like school that you go to where you take certain number of classes for the law and...
Sure. So in Idaho, you know, really there isn't a requirement for that. Yes, there's like an age requirement. And then, you know, we want the right people in those positions. So you're looking for somebody that's well-rounded, life experience, maturity, all those things. But there isn't specifically like an education requirement for the state. Some departments will put that on there and some different limitations or minimum expectations. Mm-hmm. But at that time, you know, I was just going off of my experience with in the Marine Corps and the leadership that
for
I learned from there.
That makes
and then,
sense.
Yeah. And so that was kind of just, like I said, just my way into that and into the law enforcement. I have always had a sense of service, you know, just, you know, for example, joining the Marine Corps. Or I grew up, my grandparents were different points in time, the commander of the search and rescue up there. Mm. So I knew who Dave Kramer, who's our current sheriff there in Boundary County. He was a city police chief when I was a kid, always involved with Special Olympics, always involved with search and rescue, always involved with the community, and just someone that I always kind of admired in that aspect. And, you know, as I got older and got into some of these different roles, and I just wonder sometimes how he has that much energy to do all these different things. But you know, it's just kind of been a calling to always try to be of service.
You know, it makes such good sense to me in you talking about wanting to come home, in a way, come back to a community. And there is something very special for those of us that get to live in Idaho in general, though I do think North Idaho is pretty close to heaven. It's not there yet,
for sure.
But it's pretty close. It is very special. And one of the things, Travis, that you've used the word a couple of times that makes it special, and I think what makes our law enforcement special, is that sense of community. You know, that sense of really caring for the community, caring for the safety of others, and doing what needs to be done.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, just always been part of being someone from North Idaho.
So looking at your experience in the police department and then also in the sheriff's department, you moved into the sheriff's department. You've been a detective and
Correct.
A supervisor, a chief, what?
No, so I was a detective at the sheriff's office. I was a school resource officer at the city of Bonnersbury.
That's
and a corporal.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
So with that experience, again, why are you running for sheriff? What is it that you hope to do in the role of sheriff that you're just not doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the role of sheriff is a very, very important role in law enforcement in any community, and especially, you know, in the community that we live in Boundary County. I think it's really important to have someone with the right values and the right mindset and that sense of community. That connection to the community is important.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm a product of that community. That's where I came from. That's where I was born and raised. And I'm proud of that. You know, I think that has served me well, you know, as I've gone out through life. And so, you know, just working at the city of Bonners Ferry and then working at the sheriff's office and seeing some of the good things about it and some of the bad things about it and understanding the importance of working together, you know, a lot of times, whether you're in the city or the county, our guys are going out for calls for service, and we're rural areas with very little cell reception, you know, very little radio reception, and so it's important to build relationships and with the city of Bonners Ferry, with you know all these different law enforcement partners that we have. We've got Border Patrol, ISP, Fish and Game, You know, customs has helped us on some things, like you name it. Like there's so many different agencies that are there,
and your dispatchers.
Well, absolutely, and they're the one in charge of all of us. And yeah. And I actually have, you know, we'll get into some of the dispatch things here in a bit, but you know, I really truly feel that I can make a difference in the leadership. You know, stepping in and using my experience from the Marine Corps and my work ethic, and you know, understanding what it really takes to run Boundary County, and our limitations and the good things about it and putting it all together.
You know, I'm beginning to see how you developed your platform and your priorities. So let's jump into that now, because that's kind of where you're going on how you have come to see what is needed in Boundary County from the sheriff in a leadership position, working with all the other units and all of the troopers and everyone, really. So, first of all, I want our audience to know how they can look at more of this detail on your website. And what is your website again for our audience?
So it's stoleyforsheriff.com.
Stoley, STOLLEYFOR. Sheriff.com,
correct.
.com, stoleyforsheriff.com. So they can get all this detail and a way to contact you, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's all on the website. Also, I have a Facebook group. Same thing, Stoley for Sheriff at Facebook. And that all has my information as far as phone numbers, emails, all that, to be able to reach out and contact. If you ever have any questions, please do.
Awesome. All right. So I'm kind of looking at some bullet points here. I'll take them the way you have them listed, but you can go where you want to go. The first one's accountability. So that's one of your priorities. So what is it that you're thinking in terms of accountability?
Yeah. I mean, I just think, you know, that it's important to hold a standard. And you know, I look at our sheriff's office, and we have some really great people that work there across the board. You know, and the sheriff's responsible for like you were talking about, for dispatch, for patrol, for the jail, for driver's license, all these different, you know, entities. And so to me, like as the sheriff, I'm accountable to the people of Boundary County. And so I would expect the same from those that are employed under, you know, me as the sheriff. And you know, it's just simple a leadership thing that I got from the Marine Corps. And, you know, just a little term, it's like inspect what you expect, you know. And so you lay out an expectation, and then you go through it and you follow through with it. And, you know, as a sheriff, it's not my role to micromanage, but it's also my role to know what's going on within our agencies. And how can I help, you know, provide you with the training or the tools to complete the job in a professional manner. And so it really just boils down to just that accountability. Like I'm going to be accountable to the citizens, and then I expect the same from those that are employed.
It's a two-way street, accountability, and honesty and transparency is a big part of that. Those are also on your list of important priorities as sheriff. I think I know, but sure. What does transparency mean to you? Because that's a big part of accountability.
Yeah, and that's just part of public service, right? We are, we serve the public. And, you know, there shouldn't be secrets. Like, you know, there are certain things that you have to protect for, you know, the privacy of victims or an investigation to make sure that it's getting complete. That's not what I'm referring to. But, you know, like I was referring to earlier, that accountability to the people. Well, how are they going to know what's going on unless they can see what we have, the good and the bad. And so when we make a mistake, because we're all humans, like that's something that I feel is important for people to remember, is we are going to make mistakes, and none of us are perfect, but to be able to stand there and go, hey, here's what happened. Here's the decision that we made, and here's why, right, wrong, or whatever, we're going to move forward from it. Cause that's what we have to do. And, you know, how do we do that? And whatever that situation dictates, I think that's just an important part of it.
You know, this honesty and transparency thing, and you're talking about good communication, makes me remember you talking about cell phone service, you know, can be dicey. You know, when we're in mountainous and valley areas, you know, cell phone service can get blocked. So how would you, as sheriff, begin to improve that kind of communication, that technical communication?
Yeah, and so it's something that years ago, our fire channels, other first responders were able to upgrade some infrastructure. And, you know, so it's a little odd. So like our fire and EMS will have better radio reception than our sheriff's deputies or police officers. And we've tried some different, like some transponders we put in vehicles, and nothing has quite worked as well as we thought. It's definitely helped on some of that. So it's just going to be an infrastructure thing, and we got to look into what it's going to take for the sheriff's office to get up to that standard that these other guys are doing, and to be able to upgrade some of that. And that's going to take working with commissioners. Cause there's, I mean, you can look at, any of our, or look at some of the projects that we have ahead of us as far as the sheriff's office goes. And there's some significant things coming up, but that is definitely going to be a priority, trying to figure out how we can do that. And I know it's possible because our other first responders in the community have it. So,
yeah. So yes, a priority of, implementation, but budget, it would be a budget issue. Well, you know, I've said, I'll just say this now on the air, and I've said this in a lot of different situations. I would rather have like good roads and good snow removal than flower pots up and down some avenue. Now, I like the flowers. Sure. They're lovely. But if it's an either or, then I want the good roads. And I would say the same thing about communication for sheriff deputies with other agencies, the police and fire. Yeah. And that would be like number one. That should be at the top of everybody's budget. Nothing else.
Yeah. The problem, you know? The problem we run into in this world is, you know, there are so many things that are important, and it all boils down to whether it's officer safety or safety of those that are in our custody, when we can talk about the jail.
Yes.
You know, but absolutely the officer safety, has to be our priority, because these men and women are going out and risking their lives every single day.
They need to know what's going on. They need
absolutely
to be told what they're getting into if it's changed.
Yep.
The situation. All right. Well, let's go. All right. So cell phone or communication, is important. When we come back, you mentioned, some other priorities that you have. So we're going to get into those priorities after this break.
Time has proven to be a good judge of quality. When something stands the test of time, you know it's good. Steve here with Pacific Steel and Recycling in Ponderé. Pacific is a 100% employee-owned company that has been delivering great steel products and providing convenient, quality recycling services for more than a century. Here in Ponderé for more than 30 years. So if it's structural steel you need, or just looking to turn your metal trash into cash, visit Pacific Steel and Recycling, located at 1000 Triangle Drive in Ponderé.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
The Hydra Steakhouse opens 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Come on in for nightly specials, famous prime rib, seafood, chicken, and pasta dinners. Or swing into the lounge with a full bar, try a tasty appetizer, and check out the house-made signature cocktails, beer, and wine.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
Give your equipment the care it deserves with Quality AGCO Parts at AgriService. Book a comprehensive winter inspection and receive a 15% discount on genuine AGCO parts when service is completed. Qualifying models receive a complimentary oil sample, so act now. Offer ends March 31st. At AgriService, we understand you are the heartbeat of agriculture, and it's why our expert technicians are trained to ensure your equipment is at peak performance using only the best genuine AGCO parts. Together, we drive agriculture forward with confidence and productivity. Agri-service.com.
Got rust in your trunk? The Rusty Trunk in Ponderé and Bonner's Ferry now buying your vintage antiques and collectibles. No rust? Come shop our vintage collectibles, antiques, art, and more. 6127 Main Street, Bonners Ferry, previously Carter Country, and 875 Kootenai Cutoff Road, Ponderay, across from the Animal Shelter. Open 9 a.m. to 5:30, Monday through Saturday. Discover your new favorite place to shop, The Rusty Trunk.
Join Idaho Public Television for Festival, March 1st through the 10th. Tour the Yorkshire Dales with fan favorite All Creatures Great and Small.
Hey, smart as the boy anyways, you think?
Take a great scenic railway journey.
It's like traveling back in time.
And celebrate great music with an all-new rock, pop, and doo-wop. Learn more at idahoptv.org/festival and donate today.
At Bi-Mart, we're celebrating 20 years of employee ownership. Save now with our latest savings book. Shop store-wide with Owner's Choice Anniversary Savings. Save on PMC 556 ammo. All single candy bars are 5 for $5. Campbell's Chunky Soup is 2 for $3. Plus, we've got you covered on all your spring gardening essentials for less. Save now at Bi-Mart, celebrating 20 years of being employee-owned and proudly saving our members more.
North Idaho's Radio, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
All right, everybody, we've got it going on for you here. We are talking today with Travis Stoley. He is a candidate. He'll be on your primary ballot in Boundary County, a candidate for sheriff in Boundary County. Expected to have Dave Schumann here with us, but unfortunately he is not well today, so he couldn't be here. So we've got Travis taking the whole show and doing a great job at it. So we've been talking about priorities and things that as sheriff you would really want to emphasize. One of the things is the communication issue, the upgrades so the officers can be in touch. Talk to us a little bit about dispatch, how important that communication is and how you might work that for your dispatchers.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the group of people that run everything. The way it works in Boundary County, we've got one dispatch center that dispatches everybody. That's fire, EMS, city police, sheriff's office. And so they're very, very busy. And, you know, just being able to communicate, like we were saying, some of the issues that we have had is just specifically with like our handhelds, for the officers and the deputies, you know, and we talked a little bit about that, just being able to figure out, you know, how we get on par with the fire and EMS guys. And because we can sometimes flip to their channel and it gets out better than ours, you know. So that's just something that we need to look at and figure out because, you know, it's just really important to be able to communicate, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's actually a matter of life and death. I mean, it's good to be communication. You know, those of us that, you sure. know, we may think of it as, you know, I get upset if my internet's down or text is slow or whatever. But for you and your officers, your deputies, it can be life and death.
It is our lifeline. Absolutely.
And it may be life and death for whoever the victim is or whoever is having the difficulty that you guys are responding to.
Well, absolutely. And there's many areas. I mean, sometimes it's those rural areas, but sometimes it's just we're in a house and this reception doesn't get out. And I've been in those situations where I'm trying to call out and get some information out, whether it's we're chasing a dude through the woods or whatever is going on. And we're not able to get that out there. And so it just is something that I know Sheriff Kramer and Chief Zimmerman have been working on. And it's just something I'm going to step in and hopefully just continue to
get
work on.
Get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it
sure.
over the...
Because I remember feeling as a deputy, like how hard can it be, right? I know it might be money, it might be different things, but ultimately, like you said, it is our life on the line or the life of whoever we're trying to serve.
Yeah.
And it's just something we really need to make a priority of.
Get it done. What about the new jail or an expanded jail? What's going
on
there?
So right now, you know, the jail that we currently have has just outlived its time. We're constantly trying to fix different issues. There's plumbing that's within, you know, concrete and walls. And, you know, I was working one night and we have heater system, a hot water heater that was just a natural gas heater. And I'm standing in dispatch. And so the way our dispatch is just like a little central dispatch that opens the door back and forth to the jail. And you got glass windows. You can look into the jail. And we hear this loud explosion happen. And the detention deputy went falling back, you know, coming out of our utility room. And he was trying to manually light a hot water tank in there. And it was just, you know, the pilot light had gone out and he was trying to do it. And it was something that got fixed and it just needed to be fixed. But it's just one example of things that, you know, it's just an older facility. And, you know, outside of just that stuff, the infrastructure, the biggest issue we have is size. I mean, we've really outgrown, you know, as far as a community, like we really have, just like anyone else in North Idaho, we've kind of experienced that growth. And,
yes,
you know, with that comes some different crimes and more people in your jails, you know, and, you know, believe it or not, we've got more women in jail now than we did when these facility was designed. And so originally the women pod wasn't designed to be as big. And there's times when we're at capacity or more almost constantly. And so what we do, some different things to problem solve, you know, to adapt and overcome to that. And whether it's putting extra beds on the floor or, you know, just, but you got to think too, we've got people in here that some need to get segregated for whether it's a crime thing or whether they just don't get along with each other or whatever. And really limits our options. And some of that, you know, limits, what we can do. And so there's times where we've had to make decisions, whether, you know, me on the street bringing a inmate in to custody and the jail's like, we can't take them.
Yeah.
And so then we're taking people and we're putting them out that maybe necessarily wouldn't have done had we had the facilities for it.
I think that people need to understand this, Travis, because by law, if I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, men and women have to be separated. Teenagers or underage people that may need to be in your jail facility, they have to be separated. And somebody who's sick, somebody comes in, I'm sure it hit with COVID, but there are other times.
Just in general.
They
sure.
have to be separated out if they are sick or whatever is going on. So it's not like, okay, I've got 15 beds, how many people? No, it's by these pod things.
It's a logistical nightmare sometimes.
Yeah.
And it really, you know, our detention guys do a wonderful job trying to, like I said, problem solve and adapt.
So what do you want to do as sheriff? Do you want to remodel, redo, build new? What's your
So that's something Sheriff Kramer has started the ball rolling on. And again, everything comes down to working with commissioners and having that open line of communication. We've had a couple different jail studies done, the feasibility studies, like what would it cost to, you know, tear this whole thing down and build it back up. But then you run into different issues. Like, what do you do with the inmates when they're there? Mm-hmm. What do you do, you know, like, as far as like, how do you redesign it? Do we move locations? So then we did a different study here recently, that did that. So let's build a whole brand new jail with the idea that you can expand it. So you design it and you build it with the idea that
modules almost.
Exactly. So maybe you build the space, but you don't finish the space to you know, up that capacity at some point.
Do you like that plan? If you were sheriff, is that the one you're kind of leaning into?
I think
into?
That's the better option of the two, because again, what would you do if you have to completely tear down this whole, and like these studies really outline the numbers better. And so if you tore down the whole building we did, or just gutted it and then rebuilt, maybe added something up above it or whatever, really there is some savings in that, mm-hmm. but your expected life or your life expectancy of the building really doesn't change a whole lot because of just how old the foundation and all that is. And then also,
it seems to me if you can't accommodate your current jail population during the tear down, reconstruct or remodel or whatever at the old place, you're going to be farming them out down here in Bonner County.
You would have to figure something out.
And that's going to cost you. So either that or, you know, put them in Kootenai Casino. I don't know.
Right.
That
yeah.
Would,
no, it would,
even worse.
No one has a great idea as to what we would do with that. I mean, and it's cost prohibitive. I mean, it really would be when it comes to that point. And so, you know, we've all, I think, kind of settled on, okay, maybe we need a new facility. So then we would have to figure out where that would go. We have some ideas, you know, right now where the sheriff's office patrol guys are at. It's uptown, kind of across from our junior high. Used to be an old National Guard building. And so we kind of remodeled and moved into that as a sheriff's office with some plans to move dispatch and some different things up there eventually. But this jail really is just starting to kind of rear its head in different ways. And Sheriff Kramer's done a great job in getting the jail certified and maintaining that certification, because that has been something that prior to him coming in wasn't done. And because the again, it was just, you have to have so much space per person, and we don't take juveniles in our jail at all. Oh. They all come down to the juvenile detention center here in Bonner County.
Okay.
Which, you know, it is, and that's something that works. I don't think that needs to change. I don't think we need to design a jail to fit that up in there, because it's, you know, not necessarily a really big number of juveniles that are, that we have to do that, thankfully. I mean, there's always some. But then, you know, again, it really just boils down to what makes sense financially. None of it's cheap. I mean, you look at some of the projections.
And doesn't get cheaper. This is the whole thing. People just need to, again, it's an issue of priorities and money.
Yeah.
And that is probably the most difficult part of the sheriff's job. At least that would be my take on it. Of all the things you do, I think that's the tough part, to get everybody, including the public, the taxpayers, to understand.
Sure.
The issue. What about school? Can I move on to school security? Well, are you finished with jail? I mean, I kind of got the feeling you're leaning toward a new one, modular kind of construction that you can add on as the growth and the need arises.
Yeah, in a perfect scenario, that would be the way to do it. But again, it's going to take a lot of work. Our current commissioners have been really helpful in working with us to do that. And that's something, you know, I look forward to, if elected, to get in that position
keep working on it.
Yeah.
All right. Right, that sounds good. What about we're up against another break, so we are going to do that break right when we come back. We're going to be talking about school security and your plans for that as sheriff.
Yeah.
All right.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Ridge Transmission and Performance, formerly BF Quick Lube, has new owners and new services, offering transmission repair, manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment, 267-7481, or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ridge Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. The ugly truth is, when you buy a timeshare, you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced.
For more than 30 years, we have represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
For matters in Idaho, visit CordellCordell.com. 999 West Main Street, Suite 100, Boise, Idaho, 83702.
Paid for by Cordell and Cordell.
97.1 FM, KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
All right, everyone. We are talking today with Travis Stoley. He is running for Boundary County Sheriff. He's here talking to us today about his campaign, his priorities, what he wants to do as sheriff. And it'll be your decision for all those voters in Boundary County that are tuning in with us on May 21st. That's your primary day. His name's going to be on the ballot for sheriff. And so he's obviously here today asking for your vote. Well, let's take a look at school safety, because I know that's on the top list for your moms and your dads. And you've got kids in the school system.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got, like I said, two kids that go to school in Boundary County and participate in our extra sports. And I'm actually the head coach for the varsity wrestling boys and girls teams too. We just got back from state last weekend. So.
All right.
Yeah, so very, very important and near and dear to my heart. Also, I was the school resource officer there at our schools. And when I was the school resource officer, I was the one school resource officer for all of our elementary schools, our junior high, and the high school. And I've said this multiple times, like, it's probably the hardest I've worked in law enforcement was in that position. Because really, you know, who else is are we fighting for if not for our kids, you know, and making sure that they're safe and that they are protected and you know, we do our jobs to investigate any crimes or protect them. And so when I had first started there, there wasn't what we have currently. You know, we do like an annual review with the state and, like, you know, look at different
like scenarios,
weaknesses and scenarios and different things, absolutely, and how we can improve security and all that. And so we've come a long way. And honestly, like, Jen Barrier, who is our current school superintendent, has done a great job. She came from the Kellogg School District, and they were a little bit further along in some of the security things that they had done and working with some of these other districts here in Kootenai County, and, you know, had some relationships and some networking that really helped us out and helped us kind of make our plan. And so when she was hired here a couple years ago, she kind of implemented a bunch of plans from, you know, we just kind of cherry picked some things that applied to us. And so that is something that, you know, we have made progress on. And I know the current sheriff and city police have done training with some different agencies and some active shooter classes. And that's just something I think we just need to maintain.
Yes.
Also, another point, you know, the city police department has one school resource officer now, and so does the county. And so they split some of those responsibilities up. I'm actually a little bit jealous, to be honest with you, because I think I would have enjoyed it a little more had I not been running around so much. It was just something that really needed to happen.
You know, one of the things that I think will be very much on your plate, and it's already, I know, on your radar scope, is drug interdiction, because that's just one more way that we can keep our kids safe, keep everyone safe. But that's important for our young people in our schools, to make sure drug use is controlled and dealers are taken care of.
Yep, and the sheriff's office currently has one canine officer right now, and we're working on getting another one. And so I think, you know, that's something we can continue to work on. You know, for me, it's important to build the relationships and to be connected, which, you know, I was a hunter's education instructor for a while. I've coached little kid wrestling. I've coached high school wrestling. I think it's important to see, you know, law enforcement outside of just that law enforcement side, you know. And so, yes, the canines are important, and we can get them in there. And, you know, it's a huge tool, very helpful to just that preventative thing. Because, you know, as we've all seen, fentanyl is something that 5 years ago, none of us really knew much about it. And then just recently here in this week, they've passed a bill to make it a mandatory minimum sentencing and change some of those laws. And we were able to, to have some teeth to that, some of that prosecution, you
that
know,
is so good.
It is. That's really important. And
what
now
about
it's just
working with the border, you know, things coming across our northern border. There's so much attention to the southern border, and that affects us. I mean,
yeah.
We've got cartels
absolutely
in Spokane and runners coming up into our areas. You know better than I do.
Well, absolutely. And that's stuff that, you know, we've Kalispell, Spokane, those are all little hubs, and every, you know, we're central to that. So there's drugs that go through our county all the time.
Yeah.
All the northern counties. And, you know, it's a goal of mine to make it so these people don't come through our county. They go around, they'll go through Lincoln County, they'll go somewhere else. So because they know that we're going to come through our county and we're going to be proactive, you know, and looking for, and stopping this as much as we can.
It's like NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Absolutely.
I know that it pushes it someplace, but if everybody's pushing on them, then
yeah, absolutely. And then quarterly, the sheriff's office sits down with all of our local partners, and that marshals, FBI, RCMP comes down. Lincoln County Sheriff's Office usually comes over. Border Patrol, Customs, all, you know, Forest Service, all of our local, you know, federal and local agencies sit down and we go, hey, this is what we're seeing. Here's our activity. Like,
yes,
what do you guys have going on here? And that's really helpful. And, you know, cause it gives us, you know, on the street, something to look for.
And you know what I just did? I just moved that communication goal of yours up even higher for all these agencies to be talking in the moment. It's
absolutely
drug interdiction.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that's just something we'll continue to do and to look at. And you know, my training, you know, when I was in FTO, how I learned was we go out and look for things, you know. We're proactive. We're not sitting in reactive and trying to fix things after the problem. You know, I really truly believe that, you know, we're never going to stop all of the problems in the world, but I really truly believe that we're going to go out and do our best to do that. And in my viewpoint, it's proactive policing, going out and making contacts.
You know, that makes it even more important. You mentioned that you would like to get another canine officer because that's really critical in the drug thing. Those dogs,
absolutely,
can,
absolutely,
their noses are better than our eyes.
A lot better. And you know, and you know, that's a job that's really important because just like anything in law enforcement, laws are always changing. And so, you know, our guys do a really good job of maintaining their training and maintaining certifications and kind of adapting as different case law comes out. But having two available, one, it relieves, you know, you have one canine on, and so he's subject to call out 24/7. You know, it kind of takes that, some of that workload off of him a little. And you can schedule those dogs to be on different times and interdictions and
yes,
different parts of the county. Yeah, it's just, it'd be a
awesome,
huge tool for us.
Oh, what about meet and greets or coffees coming up? We've got listeners that probably have a lot of questions that I haven't gotten to today. How can people see you in person up in Boundary County?
Yeah, so the next thing coming up, we have the presidential caucus coming up March 2nd.
Yes.
And so there isn't the same rules that they have for regular elections for these. They're allowing candidates to go and to meet people. So I'll be at the Boundary County Presidential Caucus on March 2nd, and it starts at 11 a.m. So that's at the school district there in Boundary County. And then on March 16th, I will be at the Coalition Building. It's 188 Plato Drive, which is, those in Boundary County will know, it's a 3-mile area. That's a building right there that will be... My mom will be making some cinnamon rolls and bring
Woo-hoo!
Some coffee, and we'll sit down and we'll talk and answer any questions. And then, you know, we have a debate coming up March 21st up in Boundary County at the high school, putting on by the Panhandle Republican Women, which is a group that we've got up in Boundary County that is a priority for me to go meet. I've been a little busy, and I am looking forward to getting in front of those gals and hearing what they have to say.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm looking for the actual second hand on my clock here. I'm not seeing it, but we are winding down here. I'll give you a chance to say goodbye and ask for somebody's vote out there, Travis.
Yeah, I just, you know, appreciate the opportunity. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys. Please reach out if you have any questions. You know, like I said, I'm a product of Boundary County. My kids go to school in Boundary County. I live in Boundary County, and I'm just, you know, looking for the opportunity to continue to serve. And one way or the other, we'll be involved, and look forward to seeing you guys. And
all right,
come
good.
Vote.
Hey, come vote.
May 21st.
Travis Stoley, thank you so much for being here. That's it for today, folks. Next week, I'm looking forward to talking with a friend and a neighbor who recently had a major heart event. His journey has been amazing and I believe very unique, and you are going to want to hear the truth of how these events play out, the symptoms that you have and you don't have, and what happens afterwards. You know, I just had Lori Morris on from North Idaho Cardiac Rehab. Joining my neighbor talking about his heart event is going to be another gal from another professional from North Idaho Cardiac Rehab. Her name is Rebecca Chloe, and she's qualified dietary medical treatment, a certified dietitian. So anyway, we've got it going on for your good health next week. Tune in. Until then, this is Barbara saying thank you. Take care. Slow down out there, because the Boundary County team is looking for you. Anyway, so slow down. Be safe. Until then, this is Barbara saying God bless you.
On air at KSPT Sandpoint, 1450 KBFI Bonners Ferry, 97.1, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.